We started a series a while back for our applicatory services on the fruit of the Spirit. We've had two sermons on that already. Now we return to that tonight in our applicatory worship. And we're looking at the aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy. And in that connection, we're going to read out of Philippians chapter 4, and then we'll go back to Galatians 5, 22 and 23, which speak of that fruit. But first, Philippians chapter 4, read the first 13 verses of Philippians 4, and it's striking to note that Philippians has often been called the epistle of joy. The Apostle Paul writes about joy often in this epistle. So Philippians 4, the first 13 verses. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech you, Odias, and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And we'll stop our reading of God's Word there. Now we turn back to Galatians chapter 5. Verses 22 and 23, we reminded ourselves what the fruit of the Spirit is. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. And tonight we focus on that word, joy. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, it may be true of us that we often don't give much attention to joy. But now we do that tonight, wanting to hear from thy word what joy is and where joy is found. Oh, Father, we need this because so easily our joy is connected to circumstances. And that's part of why we don't think much about it. Our joy, we might think, is dependent upon the kind of day that we might have. But tonight, may we see and know that joy is rooted in Thee, in Thy work, in salvation, in the work of Jesus Christ. So we pray that we would be a joyful people who are living joyful lives for the glory of Thy name. So strengthen us in the joy that we have in the gospel of Christ. We pray this in His name. Amen. We certainly live in a day of great privilege. And what I mean by that is in our day, there are many things that we have and experience in great abundance. There's plenty of food for us. There's medical care for us when we are sick, when we need a break, Most of us can go on vacation, and we have a lot of stuff. We have so much in this world today that we might think that these things and many other things are rights for us. We might think it's our right to have these things, so much so that if we don't have them, we're disappointed and we are sad and sorrow that as well. But in the midst of this, we want to see and understand that living in the world as a joyful people is something that makes us to stand out from this world as the people of God. Because of the privilege that we find in our land today, there is so much complaining and bitterness and ingratitude. There is so much discontent because people think they have a right to things. They're jealous of what others have, and they set their joy in life based on those things, based on their circumstances. How different then when we as the people of God live in joy no matter what our circumstances are. But it may very well be that some of us here tonight are struggling to live in joy. As I prayed about it a few moments ago, how often do we think about joy? We think about love. We think about obedience. We think about a lot of things, but how often do we think about the biblical truth and principle of joy? Instead, we think it's simply an emotion. It's a feeling. Some days I'm happy, other days I'm not. It depends how the day goes. But we see and understand here tonight that joy, Christian joy, is so much different. I found in studying and preparing that for those reasons, I think it's very difficult to preach on joy, and maybe it's difficult for us to think about joy as well. Well, tonight we want to think about joy. We want to hear about joy. We want to see what joy is, and we want to understand that there is joy for us because of the joy of salvation in Jesus Christ. And when God saves us through the work of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, there's something that comes along with that salvation. What comes along with it is joy. True joy, beautiful joy. Because in Jesus Christ, we have everything we need. We have security, we have provision, we have guidance, we have truth, we have forgiveness, we have righteousness, and we have fellowship with God and so much more. That's where we see it connected to the Lord's Supper that we partook of together this morning, and especially in the wine of the Lord's Supper. Yes, we know that the wine points us to the blood of Jesus Christ, but there's something else in the wine. Bread, that pictures what we need. Just like we need food for our bodies, so we need Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life, to save us from our sins. But the wine, that's a picture of the joy of the abundance we have in Jesus Christ. Yes, we have abundance in Jesus Christ. Grace upon grace. Mercy that is great and abundant towards us. And in knowing the abundance we have in Jesus Christ, there is joy. The wine of the Lord's Supper this morning pictured that joy we have in Christ. So that even in difficulty and trial and sorrow and uncertainty in our lives, there is a real joy for us. A real joy that is not based on our situation, but joy that is based on salvation in Christ. This joy that we consider tonight is part of the fruit of the Spirit. That sweet and excellent fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is that. When you think of fruit that we bite into and it's sweet. A sweet apple, a sweet watermelon in the summertime. Oranges that soon will be in season, and you get those sweet oranges that you bite into and you taste their sweetness. So also the fruit of the Spirit is sweet. There is one fruit of the Spirit we've said. That fruit of the Spirit is love, It's in the singular here. But that one of the fruit of the Spirit has so many different aspects. And that's what we find in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. All the different aspects of love, which is the fruit of the Spirit. The aspect of that fruit, which we consider tonight, is joy. The sweetness, the beauty, the excellency of joy that we have in Jesus Christ. So we consider tonight the fruit of the Spirit, and now looking tonight at joy. And this is what we're going to look at tonight. First, the character of this joy. We're going to try to understand the concept, the idea, the meaning of joy. Secondly, the reasons for joy. Listing reasons that we have to be joyful so that we would be encouraged to be joyful in our lives. And then finally, the life that follows. We're commanded to rejoice in Philippians 4. So there's a life of joy. We want to look at that very briefly in the third point. But first of all, we look at the very character of joy. This is what joy is. I'm trying to define it here. And I found this to be extremely difficult to do, to define joy. But here's a definition that I have come up with. Joy is a spiritual gift of God. It's a spiritual gift of God worked in us by the Holy Spirit, which is a gladness of heart in knowing the goodness of God in Jesus Christ. Now, if you're trying to write that down, I realize I probably said too much. But notice this, first of all, it's a spiritual gift of God, a spiritual gift worked in us by the Holy Spirit. And then that gift worked in us by the Holy Spirit is a gladness of heart that is rooted in Jesus Christ and the goodness of God that's seen in Him. So really, I break that up into the two parts of this first point. We want to see and understand, first of all, that joy is the gift of God that is worked in us by the Holy Spirit. Right away when we say that and understand that, and that comes right out of Galatians 5:22, doesn't it? The fruit of the Spirit, and an aspect of that fruit, which is love, is joy. So this is something that is a gift of God that is worked in us by the Holy Spirit. This tells us a couple of things then that joy is not. And we need to get these wrong notions of joy out of our minds and understanding. First of all, we tend to think that joy is a mood or feeling that can't be helped. That at certain times in my life, I have the right to be crabby. I have the right to be unhappy. For example, if I'm not a morning person, and it's all right for me then because I'm not a morning person to wake up grumbling and complaining and unhappy. Or we think that we have the right, because of what's happened throughout the day, to come home from our work, or when our husbands come home, to think that we have the right to be unhappy because of the way the children were, because of the way the work was, because of the circumstances of my life. I have the right to that. But we want to see and understand tonight that joy is not simply a mood. Joy is not simply an emotion. Joy is not simply a feeling that we get sometimes and then we don't have at other times, but it's simply something that is elusive. We also want to see and understand that spiritual joy is not something that we can find in ourselves. You can't find joy in life in yourself. But instead, we need God in the power of the Holy Spirit to give us this gift of joy. Maybe that's something we should be praying for if we're struggling to find joy. Oh God, today, give me joy. I'm struggling to find joy because God is the one who gives this. We see then that children of God have this joy work in them by the Holy Spirit. And it's worked in us by the Holy Spirit as those who have been given the gift of love. Remember, joy is an aspect of love. And we'll see the connection through the sermon tonight as well. But see and understand that love is worked in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We read that this morning in Romans 5, verse 5. When the Holy Spirit works love in us, the Holy Spirit also works joy in us. We see very clearly then that God is the source of joy. One other passage that points that out, of Galatians 5 here, which we're looking at, but also in Romans 15, verse 13. Romans 15, verse 13. We read there, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." It is God who fills us with joy. Paul prays that for the church. And so also, we should be praying that for ourselves as well. But when we see and understand that joy comes from God, we want to see and understand that it's found in God Himself. How often do we think of God as a God of joy and rejoicing? He is. We're told that in the Scriptures. We're told that, for example, in the book, The Prophecy of Zephaniah, 3 verse 17, which says this, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing." We see there that God Himself is a God of joy and rejoicing. And when we put that together with love, we see that, don't we? That in the fellowship that God enjoys in Himself as the triune God, the love that He has in Himself as the triune God means that God Himself enjoys that. There's joy and rejoicing in God Himself in the perfect fellowship that He enjoys as the triune God. There is joy in God as He accomplishes His will in all things that happen in the world, as His sovereign plan is being accomplished. He rejoices in that. And we read there in Zephaniah 3 that God is a God who joys and rejoices in His people, in saving them and bringing them into fellowship with Himself. Yes, we know that God is a God who grieves. He's a God who grieves sin. The Holy Spirit does. We know that He is a God who is angry. But we also ought to see our God as a God who joys and delights in Himself and in His people in Jesus Christ. What this all means then for us is that we need God to give us this joy because we can't find it ourselves. We need the Holy Spirit to work this joy in us. We need what we sang a few moments ago. Our mourning turned to dancing. Our sorrow changed to joy. God is the one who is able to do that. But let's see and understand tonight that this joy is not simply infused in us. We're not given the IV of joy by God. But instead, what we are given is minds that are changed by Him to see and know truth, so that as we lay hold on God and His truth by faith, we are also given this joy in our thinking and in our lives. Or to put it another way, God in His work not only changes His hearts, our hearts, but also changes our minds. He renews them. He transforms them so that in understanding who God is and what He has done, there is great joy that comes to us. Now, in connection with this, we see, as we read in Philippians 4, verse 4, that God commands joy and rejoicing. This is a command that we hear tonight in dependence on the Holy Spirit. What that also means for us is that in dependence on the Spirit and on God, living in joy is a daily choice that we make. That tells us that joy is not feelings-based. Joy is not something spontaneous. It's not about circumstances, because the passage commands us in the midst of our lives, whatever we have going on, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's repeated there. And Paul doesn't give exceptions after that and say, well, except if you have this, or except if you have this, or except if you have this. No, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let us see and understand that joy is something worked in us, but joy is also something that is commanded by our God. But we need to put that in the proper perspective. I believe that we need to do that because joy in our world has become the ultimate pursuit. And so easily we think that's true for us too, that this joy and happiness becomes the ultimate pursuit. Here's what I mean by that. We live in a world that is on a quest to find joy and happiness in life. And basically, the message of the world of our day is this: do whatever makes you happy. Buy what makes you happy. Indulge yourself in what makes you happy. In the end, happiness is the goal and the aim of this life. It's not surprising that the world says that, is it? Because if this world to them is all that there is, then this is the ultimate, isn't it? Happiness in this world and finding it in whatever makes you happy. But understand that this happiness is an ultimate pursuit, is a selfish goal and desire. It's about me and my happiness. We must not read the command of the Apostle Paul in that way when he says rejoice. He's not saying the ultimate goal for you is happiness. Find it. Do whatever you can to find it. But it's rejoice in the Lord. And so this joy that we find is not in ourselves, but it's in God Himself, the God who gives us this gift of joy. So that's the first thing we want to understand tonight. Joy is the gift of God through the work of the Holy Spirit. The second thing we want to understand about this is that this joy is a gladness of heart that is rooted in salvation, in the work of Jesus Christ. We want to see that this spiritual joy worked in us by the Holy Spirit is rooted in something rock solid. It's rooted in something concrete. It's rooted in love. It's rooted in fellowship. It's joy that we have in the Lord, Paul says. And so here's where we must see and understand that joy and rejoicing is not at all rooted in the circumstances of our lives. It's not based on having money, power, good looks, many friends, so on and so forth. Happiness is not rooted in things we don't have. So that it's better if I don't have any sickness, no suffering, no illness. It's better if it goes easy for me. If it's easy for me, then I can find joy and happiness in that way. Happiness is not found in a world where things are going my way. So often we can think that. If they're going my way, if things are done according to the way I want them to be done, there joy is to be found. Happiness is not based on that. It's not based on quantity. A quantity of earthly things, earthly possessions, money in the bank account, quantity of health either. That's all what Paul is saying here in the book of Philippians. It's striking that in the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul is writing about joy. It's striking from a couple of perspectives. The first perspective is this. Paul's writing to a church that had known great persecution in its past. Paul knew that from his time in the city of Philippi. He knew persecution when he was there. And the church went through it after he left as well. And so he's writing to a persecuted church about joy. And he's saying there is joy for you even when you're persecuted. But the second reason this is striking, that Paul in Philippians writes about joy, and it's one of the themes of the epistle, is where Paul himself was when he wrote this. And most of us probably know that. We're studying this in the men's Bible study as well. Paul was in prison. He's near the end of his life. He's thinking about death. And he's in prison because he preached the gospel. He didn't commit some crime. He preached the gospel. He's in prison because he's persecuted. But in the midst of that, he writes to a church that's worried about him, about joy. So that not only would they live in joy, but Paul is reminding himself as the servant of Christ, I must live a joy-filled life, and I must have a joy-filled ministry. And so Paul is writing about joy, and what we see from this, what we learn from this, is that joy is not about the circumstances of life. Paul doesn't say, well, I could find joy when I'm out of prison. No, he has joy while he's in prison. He doesn't say to the church in Philippi, you will find joy when the persecution ends. No, there's joy for you even in the midst of persecution. There is joy in the midst of suffering. In fact, James 1 verse 2 says it, that there is joy in trials. We, in our lives, must stop trying to find joy in the circumstances of our lives. And remember that joy is found in the Lord. What that means is this. Joy is found in the relationship of love and fellowship that we have with our Lord Jesus Christ. In Philippians 4 verse 4, the Lord there is Jesus Christ Himself. This tells us that true joy is not self-centered, but it is always Christ-centered. And that's why there's joy no matter what in our lives, because true joy is centered on Jesus Christ and what He has done. It's knowing what Jesus Christ has done and that I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven because of what Jesus Christ has done. It's joy in knowing not only that Jesus is my Savior, but Jesus is the Lord of my life. So that even if there are not much of the things of this earth and there is great distress and suffering in our lives, still there is joy and gladness in our lives. That means that the seasons of darkness and difficulty and suffering in our lives, we can and we do find joy because of God's unchanging love in Jesus Christ. And along with that, true joy then is found in a life of serving God. It's found in fellowship and love. Yes, knowing His love and fellowship and then living in fellowship with our God. Here's where we find joy. It's when we're gathered together around the Word of God. And we're in His presence. And there is joy when we're at home and we're sitting around the table, enjoying fellowship together and then family worship together as well. There is joy when individually we're drawing near to God, reading His Word and listening to what God has to say and then pouring out our hearts before God as well. There's no joy in a life of sin. There's no joy to be found out in the world. That's what the world says. No, you find joy here. It's in the partying, it's in the sin and all of the rest. No, there's no joy there. Joy is found in fellowship with God, in knowing the love of God in Jesus Christ. And we see and know that this joy that we're talking about is everlasting. There's no end to this joy. It's not we might have it and then we might lose it. No, there's everlasting joy in the Lord. The joy we have now is the beginning of the joy that we will have in heaven. There is a fullness of joy to come in Jesus Christ. John 15 verse 11 speaks of that. And there is no one who can take this joy away from us. So joy is the gift of God in the Holy Spirit, giving to us gladness of heart in knowing the goodness of God in Jesus Christ. Understanding that joy, we need to be encouraged in that joy tonight. And we are encouraged in this joy tonight by seeing the reasons that we ought to be joyful, that we ought to be joyful in our lives every day, and that we are joyful. We need to understand that in the midst of our lives where there is so much that might bring us down so that we are downcast, so that we struggle with bitterness, we might even struggle with anger, the answer to those great struggles of the circumstances of our lives is to see the joy, the beautiful joy that we have as that is rooted in theology. We want to see our joy tonight rooted not just in Jesus Christ, but in theology. There are five things, if you have an outline in front of you, five things that I set before you as reason for us to have joy. There certainly are more, and this can be developed more, and maybe that's something for us to do in this coming week in our own devotions, personal devotions, family worship, to spend some time looking at the biblical concept of joy. Get a concordance out, look at joy or rejoicing, or do that on your Bible programs and search for passages and read some of those passages in this week so that we would be rooted and grounded in joy. We wouldn't lose this word that we consider tonight. But before I get into these five things or five reasons for joy in our lives, let me explain a little bit that's behind this. We have joy because the Holy Spirit works this joy in us. This is how He does that. The Holy Spirit works joy in us when He works faith in us. That's where we see again, true joy is not simply an emotion, but true joy is rooted in knowledge. That's part of love, isn't it? Where we love God, we know God. So also, this joy is rooted in the knowledge of God. So as God works in us this faith, our joy is rooted in that which is concrete, real, and solid. The joy of this world is fleeting. It's based upon fleeting moments and events. Really, joy and happiness in this world, it's an elusive pot of gold. They can't ever find it. They think they're getting close, but it's further away. They never find true happiness. And if we're looking for happiness in this world, we will never find it as well. True joy is rooted in the knowledge of God. How thankful we should be then tonight that we know the one true and living God. That we know the God who's a God of power, a God of majesty, a God of infinite glory, the God who is holy. Now, knowing this God, there is joy. What in the knowledge of God gives us joy? What are the reasons for joy? Number one, God is sovereign. We should be a joyful people because we know by faith that God is sovereign. He rules over all things through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's ruling over all things in this world. He's ruling over every circumstance of our lives. There is nothing that happens apart from the sovereign will and determination of God and His sovereign rule over all things. And remember, His rule is always good and right. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And this creation that He has created is always under His rule. He rules over all things through Jesus Christ, our Savior who came into this world. He suffered, He died, He rose again, He ascended into heaven to the position of ruling over all things. We rest in the confidence of God's sovereignty. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Psalm 115, verse 3. But we remember in that psalm, what the psalmist goes on to say is knowing that our God is in the heavens, He has done whatsoever He hath pleased. Now, here's how we live in the light of that. Trust in the Lord, because He is your help and your shield, and it's repeated over and over and over again. We trust in Him because He's sovereign. This also is a reason that we have great joy in our lives. God's in control. We need to look at our lives from that perspective, not just the big things. Not just when we're in the hospital. There's the cancer diagnosis. There's the reality of death. Those things are under God's control too, but the small things that can be so irritating sometimes. This and that and the small things that pile up because they don't go as we expect them to go or want them to go. And so we say, I had a bad day today. Why? Nothing went as planned. But that day, God is sovereign just as much as the day when things do go as planned. So we find our joy in the sovereignty of God. Secondly, God saves. That's what we remembered this morning. God sent His Son to redeem us from our sins by His suffering. Our Lord joyfully, and notice the word, He joyfully gave Himself to bear the punishment of our sins. Our Savior delighted to do the will of God. Doesn't make it always easy. There were times when it was grievous and hard and difficult for Him, but yet in it all He delighted to do the will of God, being forsaken in our place. We are saved by Him. And because of that, we will never face the wrath of God. That's what we remembered this morning in the Lord's Supper. That's what we remembered in the truth of justification. Because our Savior died upon the cross in our place and He bore the fullness of God's wrath, we will never face it. Not a little bit. Not any of it. Because He bore that in full. Oh, isn't there great joy in that? Every day in the sorrow of our sin, in the reality of our sin, we know those sins. We know as well that there is joy and gladness because we have a Savior who made payment for all of those sins. Through Him, we are fully and completely saved from the guilt and the punishment of our sins. He took upon Himself the bitter cup of our suffering on Himself. And because of that, we're forgiven. And we're righteous. What joy is found in that. But there's more to that salvation. God also saves us from the power of sin within us. He does that through the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has given to us a new nature. He's given to us a new spiritual life. And He's implanted that life in our hearts. It's the life of Jesus Christ. And the power of that new nature and the power of that new life, our desires have changed and our minds are changed. We desire the things of God. We desire to serve Him and walk in His ways, all because His love is found in our hearts and change is found in our hearts as well. And there's joy in that life, even in the small beginning we have. There's joy in life of obedience. There's joy in the fact that our God saves. Thirdly, there's a great reason for joy because God fellowships with us. It's not just that we're delivered from sin, but we're delivered from sin to enjoy fellowship with God forever. That's where we see that this joy is part of the love of God. That's true in the saving work of God, rooted in the love of God. Now in His love, God fellowships with us, His people. And part of that fellowship is the joy of fellowship that we have in Jesus Christ. God dwells with us. How beautiful and amazing that is. In our lives every day, God dwells with us. He dwells with us because He's in us. You kids know that, don't you? Where's the Holy Spirit? In our hearts. God's with us in our hearts. God's with us in His rule. God's with us in His love. And He fellowships with us in this life. He fellowships with us here. He fellowships with us in our family worship. He fellowships with us when we're in the Word and prayer ourselves. And He's with us every day and at every moment as well, so that we know that our God is a God who never, ever leaves us nor forsakes us. That's the promise of God in His Word to those with whom He fellowships. He will never leave us and never forsake us. That's the beauty of this fellowship. He is always with us. He holds us in His everlasting arms. He holds us in His arms, which are powerful and loving. And He is leading and guiding all things for our good as He fellowships with us. And this joy we have in fellowship with God now is the joy we will have forever as well. The reason that we joy is because of this fellowship we will have with God forever. That's God's promise in Revelation 21. He promises to dwell with us, and we will dwell with Him in the new heavens and the new earth. We have a taste of that now, but there is perfect and eternal joy to come because God fellowships with us. Why should we be joyful in our lives every moment, every day, no matter what the circumstances? Well, God's sovereign, God saves, God fellowships with us, and fourth, God makes us part of His church. It's part of the reason that Paul was joyful. He speaks of that in Philippians 4, the passage we read tonight. He was rejoicing for their care. The church in Philippi, far away from him when he's in Rome, they cared for him. They loved him. He rejoiced in the fellowship that was enjoyed within the church. It's so easy for us today to be negative about the church, to complain about the church, to complain about the people of the church, to complain about the elders of the church, to complain about the pastors of the church, to complain about the deacons of the church. But we forget when we do that the great joy that is found in being part of the church. The church isn't perfect, but she's the bride of Christ. So loved of Christ that He gave His life for her. And the idea of Scripture is if we love God and we love the Lord Jesus Christ, we will love His bride, the church. Do we love the bride? Do we love the church? Do we see and understand that there's great reason to love the church? It's because the church is the apple of God's eye. It's chosen by God. She's redeemed by God and called by God out of this world. And God cares for His church. Let's remember tonight what we receive through the church from God. Through the church, God gives us spiritual nourishment. He gives us the preaching of the gospel and He gives the sacraments to go along with that preaching. He gives us the truth we need to hear and how richly blessed we are in a Reformed church, the heritage that is ours, and how it is that God has defended and protected that and given us that today. He's given us a precious heritage. Not only that, but within the church we experience fellowship with each other. We need that. In our sufferings and trials, we're not alone. In our sin struggles, in our faith struggles, we're not alone. We have people who are struggling along with us, standing alongside of us, there to help us, surrounding us, showing us the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the care of Jesus Christ as well. And in the midst of this world, it's Jesus Christ who protects and preserves His church then. We find the beautiful promises of the Word in the church, revealed to the church. And God says, I will care for my church, and I will defend my church and protect my church because I love her well. And so we remember tonight, this is another reason for us to be joyful in our lives. We've been given the great blessing of the church. And then finally, we are joyful in our lives because God is a God. Remember, He's sovereign. He's a God who saves us. He's a God who fellowships with us. This God is working all things for our good. Romans 8, 28 and 29. This is the hope and comfort for us in the trials and sufferings that we go through, that this God of love, this God who is sovereign, is working. He's working all things. Everything that happens to us in our lives, all of that for our good. There's a real purpose to what is happening in our lives. Even those things that bring us sorrow and deep sadness. And joy doesn't mean no sorrow or sadness. But there is purpose to all of them. It's not some hidden purpose. But it's the purpose of our salvation, which is conforming us to the image of His Son. In this world, there's nothing higher and better than this. To be more righteous, to be more holy, to grow in the knowledge of God. God, through these things, is driving away the gloom and the darkness that is around us, the clouds that gather around, and the knowledge of His goodness, that His goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives. And in that great goodness, He is working all of these things for that good, to make us more Christ-like in our lives. What great joy there ought to be then for us, because God is sovereign, God saves, God fellowships with us, and this God who fellowships makes us part of the church, and this God does all things for our good. When that lives within us, we will hear the command of the Apostle Paul, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. What Paul is saying there is that we ought in our lives to live a life of joy. A life of joy. What is this life of joy? Well, we can understand it from the negative. First of all, the life of joy is not to be found in a life of sin. We do not experience that either. When we're living in sin, we do not find joy in that. Oh, maybe in the moment. We find it in the moment, but it doesn't last. Because if we are believers and if we are people of God, then the guilt settles in. And the struggle settles in. And it's painful. David says that, and we know it, don't we? That in a life of sin, there's pain. And it's awful, and it's miserable, because God says in His Word that the way of the transgressors is hard. It's difficult. We think it's easy. It's the path of least resistance. And we think we will find some joy in that. But the Word of God says, no, never is that the case. Never in a life of sin. Joy will not be found there. But joy is lived in a life of thanksgiving and worship. It's lived in a life of obedience, following the commands of God. Walking in His ways, there's joy and gladness to be found in the way of obedience. There's joy and gladness to be found in the way of worship. You see, our obedience and worship, it's not just a going through the motions. It's not doing it because I have to. But joy means there's an excitement. There's a gladness in heart. I gladly do what God calls me to do. I gladly worship the God of my salvation. Just think of applying this to our worship, beloved. Is our worship joyful worship? Every Lord's Day when we're here, is our worship a joyful worship? It can be a struggle to be joyful worship, can't it? It can be because we're tired. It can be because our minds are in all kinds of other things. It can be because of sin in our lives. It can be because we're struggling with assurance in our lives. It can be for many different reasons. It can be simply because of the car ride here to church on Sunday morning, which didn't go well. We have to fight for it. We have to work at it so that our worship would be a joyful worship. And it's evident by the way in which we sing. It's evident by the way in which we're listening. It's evident in the way in which we are showing ourselves and presenting ourselves even in the worship. We're glad to be there. And there's no other place we want to be. And the same thing with obedience on a daily basis. When we have this joy living in our hearts, it's not just the big things. It's the small things. Tomorrow, we do it all over again, don't we? And sometimes the world in which we live, Monday morning. Got to do it again Monday morning. Monday's the worst day. Well, their perspective is very different than ours, isn't it? It's the worst day. Why? Because in the weekend, they got to do what they wanted. There's fun. Work isn't fun. Now we got to go back to that. Our perspective is different. Why? We were here in the house of God. I was empty on Saturday night, but Sunday morning and Sunday evening I came and I was filled. And I'm filled with joy now. And I'm ready to go out and serve the Lord on fire, as you might say, for Him. I want to obey Him, serve Him, and the working callings that I have. Whether that's the workplace, the laundry that's piled up over the weekend, the making meals, changing diapers, dealing with children who are disobedient or who are sick. And we return to all of those things again. There can be joy in those things, even you kids, when mom says, go clean your room. There can be joy in that because we know the joy of salvation in Jesus Christ. We ought to be the most joyful people in all the world because of what we know, because of the reasons that there are for joy. May that be true of us today and tomorrow and this week. Joyful people. Because we have joy in the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for joy in our hearts. We're thankful for the encouragement to live joyful lives tonight. And how we pray as we leave here that we would truly be joyful. That we would, if we need to, struggle for that joy. Setting our hearts upon those things above and thinking about what it is that we have. And counting those things that Thou hast given to us so that we would be filled with that joy and gladness in our hearts and in our lives. Grant us strength, Father, to live such joyful lives before Thy face and forgive us where we don't. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.